From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch. Welcome back to The Mountain Life. Our next guest, Connor Lilstrom, is committed to the feeling of freedom in his artwork. He has a bit unorthodox approach and talks about the stereotypes of an artist and how his human expression is varied. He has a show at New West Knife Works on Main Street. He curates the wild spaces where he lives, mostly in the mountains around Jackson, Wyoming. We wanted to catch up with him to hear about his talk on his interaction with his work and his show here on Main Street. Welcome to the show, Connor.
Thanks. How's it going?
Great, great. Let's get to the meat of this. How do you like Park City and showcasing here versus one of the most beautiful places outside of Park City, Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
Well, I'm born and raised Jackson, so you're not going to get me onto the dark side over there. But it's awesome to, you know, like, kind of the narrative that I'm working with and the icons and the content is stuff that is relevant through town, you know, these like Western mountain towns that people are kind of butt up against, whether it's really in their face or not, you know. And then I think that there's an aspect of some of these spaces that when you become aware of, kind of makes living there a little bit more rich.
Yeah, and that's what I've, you know, just taking a very quick cursory read on your work and looking at some of your beautiful art and noticing how much has been sold out here on Main Street. There is this, it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, this conflict that you just put on to into your work. So help us to understand what that is. Maybe in one of your images, kind of tell us that conflict that you're sharing.
Yeah, the thing that I try and do with my work is have it be objectively worth spending time with, even if you're not aware of the content. You know, that as a piece of art, that the design, the composition, the colors, the rhythm through the piece is worth spending time with. And I had a kind of a rough time in some critiques in art school because, you know, people would be trying to describe their work and thus assign it value, but that without that description, it was kind of meaningless. And so I think that your work needs to stand on its own legs without an artist statement, without you there to defend it or inform people of things they don't know about. So that's where I try and start, but then have those layers of content that the more informed you are, the farther you can go into the piece, and that it provides a platform to think about those things that, you know, if you're giving a piece 10 or 15 minutes, that might be that much time that you can kind of like comfortably deal with some of those issues. Like, think about it. Maybe if you haven't properly given yourself a chance to see where you stand on those things, kind of visit with that. And it's not to tell you what to think, but just to kind of hopefully hold a little space for you to approach that.
I love to hear you talk about this. And it's funny, Connor, that you brought up art school, because I often think that artists like you, people who have grown up with this creative expression, and then you put yourself in art school that is, you know, could be more rigid and more refined than you want to be and more stereotyped that maybe you want to be. It also kind of creates a conflict, or it possibly does. But could you comment on that I find that so interesting when I hear about artists who attend art school versus those who don't and who just find their own expression.
Yeah, well, art school was a very good thing for me and my work, but I don't think it's a good thing for everybody and their work. Mm-hmm. And there is a little bit of what I think the stereotype is that, you know, it's like a safe space. And in some ways it is, because you know, are kind of inherently encouraged to and, you know, enabled kind of in a path of expressing yourself. And part of that has to be like learning how to articulate what's inside you and even just becoming aware of what's inside you. But there is an aspect too that I think comes along with it, which is that there can be kind of no limit to that in some people's eyes. You know, so you might be like, hey, this is how I feel, and just because I say I feel this way, I expect it to be legitimate and expect it to be received warmly and without critique and stuff like that. But I think that you know, some of those rough critiques from professors are important in your development, to have someone just tell you like, that's fine to think, but that's just not really going to cut it for what we're trying to do right now, you know? And so I think that having figures like that, and of course professors can be really useful and help support kind of growth and exploration, or they cannot be. But my experience was that it wasn't that they were particularly soft, but that they were nurturing in a different way, that, you know, they just didn't let you feel emboldened in anything that you thought, but really kind of helped get back to some more of the principles of like, why do you think that way? What do you think could be maybe a different way to talk about that? Because this doesn't seem to be that effective.
Yeah, gotcha. So you'll be at 625 Main Street. You're doing these pop-ups, and I'm assuming that is the pop-up gallery concept originated probably in Jackson because of the New West Gallery and Knife Works there, correct?
Well, not exactly. The pop-up gallery idea is something that isn't ours. But so in the owner and founder of New West Knife Works also started and owns New West Fine Art. And so that's a full-time gallery space up in Jackson where I show year-round. But as he expands through New West Knife Works and is moving into that new spot, we thought it was just a good opportunity to, you know, kind of bring some of these things that have relevance in Park City in the meantime. So we're doing kind of a national gallery pop-up tour in these places that, you know, he's looking at for kind of both of those people to get eyes on.
Gotcha. Okay. Connor Lillstrom, you'll find his work, beautiful paintings, oil and mixed, a little bit of mixed medium or mostly just oil, correct?
Yeah, I'm an oil painter, but I use kind of mixed oil media. It's not all just traditional out of the tube paint, you know, it's oil sticks, it's pastels, and just kind of trying to think of more tools in the toolbox.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful stuff. Connor, thank you so much for joining us. And how long will the pop-up be there? It sounds like you're going to sell out before you were actually planning on closing it down.
Well, knock on wood, come on.
Gee, let's hope that happens.
I expect that we'll be there through March. Okay. And I'll come back down for one more meet and greet and kind of a closing artist weekend in March, and then we'll roll it up. But it's been awesome to have such a good reception and warm welcome in Park City, and I think that you know, it's nice to see people kind of having the work resonate with them.
Excellent. Connor Lilstrom, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.